You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
Good morning. Well, who knows that every good day always starts off with one little treasure from your barista. Good coffee. Amen. Amen. Well, I was doing my usual. My coffee machine at home is broken at the moment. I'm having to buy coffee. I tell you, it's terrible. So anyway, this day, I went into a cafe before I started my day and I was waiting for my coffee. And the barista asked me, you know, what do you have on for the day? Have you got much on and lots going on? And I said, well, I replied that I've got a few appointments and yeah, it's going to be a busy day. You know, it was just coffee banter. And once he finished making my coffee, he handed it to me cheerily and said, hey, I hope it all goes to plan today. And on the inside of me, as soon as he said that, I just laughed. I laughed because really, when does anything go to plan? I hope it all goes to plan, he said. And as I laughed on the inside, it reminded me of Sarah in the Bible. Sarah, when she laughed, she had just overheard men talking with her husband Abraham that she was going to have a baby. And she laughed to herself thinking, well, nothing thus far has gone to plan we've had. I'm old and my husband's old and naturally, as a woman in my years, I have passed childbearing. Nice plan. So she laughed to herself. Abraham, he heard the same news, the promise of a family, but to him, he didn't laugh because when he heard those words, it was truth into his heart, it was truth into his spirit. And for all of us here, the continual conflict between reaction and response to God's promises for our family will challenge continually our trust in him. The question is today, is why is the reaction? Why do we have those reactions when God comes to us time and time again with our promises for ourselves, our marriages, and our families? This is the question that God asks us, and this is the question that God asked Sarah. In Genesis 18, 13 to 15, it says, then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, will I really have a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year and Sarah will have a son. And Sarah, in this moment, was afraid. So she lied and said, I didn't laugh. That wasn't me. You didn't hear that coming from me. It must have been somebody else. I didn't laugh. But he said, yes, you did, Sarah. You did laugh. You did laugh because in your heart, you think it's too hard for God. And you see, the conflict that we all have, the conflict in Sarah was in her mind. It was in the place where she made decisions. It was in her emotions of her soul realm where her trouble had its place. But the conflict is never in your spirit. Do you hear me today, church? The conflict is never in your spirit because in your spirit is where the Spirit of God dwells. And He, my friends, is never in conflict with the promises that He has spoken over your life. He has plans and He has promises. And according to Him, it is all going to go to plan even when we laugh. You know, He knows the plans He has for you. In Jeremiah 29, 11, you know this scripture well. For I know what I have planned for you. Can you hear this in your spirit this morning? And come into firm agreement. For I know what I have planned for you, says the Lord. I have plans. You know, when the Bible speaks of plans, what it actually means is those plans are full of the substance of God. But it also comes with a timetable. Hallelujah. It always comes with a timetable, but it's full of substance. And that substance of those plans that God has prepared for you is to prosper you, to not harm you, And God says, I have given you plans filled with a future full of hope. What was God doing? What is God doing to our conflict, our internal conflict that struggles with us daily? He is restoring our hope. And that's what he was doing with Sarah to that conflict. He was restoring the hope in her spirit, reconciling that inner conflict that we all carry. If things in your life haven't gone to plan within your family, what needs to be reconciled? What needs to be strengthened in your life between those moments of truth when we hear those promises of God and those moments of reactions towards God? What can you see that is showing no signs of real life in your promises? God speaks to us incredible promises into our spirit, but when we see no sign of life, what is that conflict that rises within your emotions? What can you see that is showing no signs of real life in your promises? Because if there's one truth that I know and one truth that we stand upon as the Church of Jesus Christ is that dead things rise with the power of God. God wants to encourage us today that in our valleys of troubles, He will always be the power door of your hope. This morning, church, dead things rise. Dead things rise in your marriages. What appears dead, what appears no life. God says to us this morning in your spirit that you can stand upon, that you can take to the bank on, that dead things rise. Because in our valleys of troubles, He will always be our door of hope. Do you believe that this morning, church? Hosea 2:15 says, there I will give her back her vineyards and will make the valley of Achor, which means trouble. I will make that valley of trouble, God says, a door of hope to her. And that is the same promise that is for us in your valleys of troubles that you are facing, that you will continually face when you are a follower of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, you will have trouble in this world, but take heart. I have overcome the world. You will have troubles, but you don't walk these troubles alone. You walk with the door of hope, and the person that is opening that door of hope to you is Jesus Christ. There she will respond, the Bible says, as in the days of her youth, as in the day she came out of Egypt. My friends, today, were the Egyptians too great for God? Was the sea too overwhelming to him who created the seas? Did not every Hebrew and their families walk out of bondage, out of slavery, and walk through the sea on dry land, set completely free? Then if she can respond knowing that God rescued her from Egypt, she can respond again in her current valley of trouble because God is extending the door of hope like he did in Egypt to her once again. Was Sarah's barrenness too great for God, who was not only the creator of life, but the giver of life? Is anything too hard for the Lord in your family today? What looks too hard for you this morning? Come on, church, my friends. What's too hard for you this morning in your valley of trouble, in your family, in your marriage, in your children? Ask your spirit right now. Ask your spirit, is anything too hard for the Lord that in your valley a door of hope cannot be opened up to you? Because there is no conflict in your spirit where the Holy Spirit dwells and resides and breathes and lives through you. Your spirit only knows possibility. Your spirit only knows hope. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead and was made fully alive lives in your spirit. Jesus said, for this reason, I came to destroy the works of the enemy. The enemy is the conflict today, and he has destroyed it so that you can live in his rest. And this is your door of hope this morning, and this is a door that I am going to open the handle of, and my family is going to walk through this door of hope that has been supplied for by my God. I'm going to walk through it. I'm going to live by it. In every valley and every trial, I will see that door of hope that God has made provision for me and my family for. Genesis 21, 1 to 7. So the Lord visited Sarah just as he said he would, and did for Sarah what he had promised. So Sarah became pregnant and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the appointed time that God told him. And Abraham, he named his son, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Now Abraham was 100 years old, a feat in itself, but nothing was too hard for our God. When his son Isaac was born to him, and Sarah said in verse 6, look at this, my friends, God has made me laugh. Everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. She went on to say, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have given birth to a son for him in his old age. You see, Sarah wasn't laughing from her soul anymore. She was laughing from her spirit. God had reconciled Sarah's conflict within her. And his word to you is that he is your door of hope. Let him be the one that leads you to his promised rest. Not the comfort or the peace as the world offers, but true rest and true peace that surpasses even your understanding. This is the peace that Jesus Christ offers to you. That you can lead out of your spirit with the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Will raise those things that are dead in the natural and bring them back to life, because God's word never returns void. Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Can I speak into your valley this morning? Nothing is too hard for the Lord. Can I speak into my valley at the moment? Nothing is too hard for you, God. So I enter your rest and I walk through your door of hope. For he knows the plans he has for you. Plans of a future and a hope that Jesus wants to guide us to see clearly, with clarity. What the natural can't see, what the invisible says to us, God wants to show and make known his word with truth and clarity. And here we come to my favorite story again. Mark chapter 8, the blind man at Bethsaida. Verse 22, they came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and led him outside the village. When he had spit on the man's eyes and put his hands on him, Jesus asked to the blind man, do you see anything? And the blind man looked up and said, I see people, but I can't see clearly because they look like trees walking around. What is it that God wants us to see? What is it that God wants us to see with absolute clarity, and to remove what is blurry to help us to see clearly? My friends, today it is people. God wants you to see people. God wants you to see your family, your children, your spouse, your partner. God wants you to see each other and see people clearly. This is the heart of our God, that you would see people through his eyes, that you would know them through his heart. God wants you to see people clearly. Verse 25, once more Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes, and then his eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. I believe that God's plan for our families is that we see Jesus, and through Jesus, we see the people in front of us clearly. But to see clearly, the blind man had to stay with Jesus until what was blurry, what was diseased, what was traumatized was healed with absolute clarity through spending time in the presence of Jesus. For many of us in our families, we are asking God to heal what is causing this spiritual blindness. It takes effort guiding people who are blind. Responsibilities that we thought were going to be carried, were going to be balanced, we end up carrying. Blindness causes us to bump into things around us, and at many times what our spiritual blindness bumps into is the people that are closest to us. But when we let God touch our spiritual blindness, you know, when the Bible speaks about touch, it means that Jesus is going to lay a hold of what has traumatized your sight. It will be His power in action. Jesus will restore it to its original position. So when you allow Jesus to touch that spiritual blindness, that trauma, that whatever has been inflicted upon you, whether in your will or by your choice, when you allow Jesus to touch your eyes, He's going to take a hold of that trauma and He's going to restore you to your original position. The man had to be brought to Jesus. Sometimes you're going to have to bring your spiritual blindness to Jesus. We got to stop knocking around our family. We got to stop knocking around our marriages. We got to see what's causing that spiritual blindness, and we've got to take it to the hands and the presence of a mighty God that raises things from the dead. Amen. Amen. The man had to be brought to Jesus. What do you need to bring to Jesus? What do you need to bring to Jesus? So often family members are telling us what we need to bring to Jesus, but sometimes we distract and we ignore what they're saying, and sometimes it's God speaking right to our spirit. What is it that you need to bring to Jesus this morning? Whatever has traumatized you, whatever has inflicted you, Jesus knows your pain. Jesus sees you and will carry you. The man had to be brought to Jesus. He had to stay in the conversation as the healing wasn't just for him, but for the people he needed to see clearly. When you get healed, whatever still needs to be healed, stay in the conversation with Jesus. It's not just for you. It's for the people that need the overflow of your healing into their lives around you. Our families need to be restored to their original position the way God intended. Too many marriages are being afflicted with trauma. They need to be restored to their original positions. Marriage is the idea of our Almighty God. He had to stay in the conversation. Are you seeing your family clearly today? Are you seeing your husband, your wife, your partner, your relationships? Are you seeing them clearly today? Is your communication clear? Is your affection clear? Is it easily seen and visible by your family? Because today, church, Jesus wants to restore you to your original position He created and intended you to be. Your family is a blessing. It's not a crisis. And God wants to restore your crisis, your valleys, with a door of hope to its original position. If you're not being seen clearly today, maybe somebody's knocking up against you. If you're not being seen clearly and spiritual blindness is bumping into you, Jesus wants to lay a hold of your pain this morning, your trauma, and help you to receive His healing, to restore you to your original position. John 10:10 says this: the thief comes only in order to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they may have life and enjoy life and have it in abundance, so full that it overflows into every area of our life. You know, we see incredible issues in our family, incredible conflict. And we see this in the book of Mark with the woman with the issue of blood. No one saw her life that was full of pain. She had a body that was ravaged by sickness, but Jesus did. And if you are carrying pain today, Jesus sees you and He has life for you. You might have run out of answers, but my friends, today Jesus hasn't. He is your truth. Mark 5:24, Jesus went with Him and a large crowd followed and pressed around Him. Now a woman was there who had been suffering from a hemorrhage for 12 years. She had endured a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she kept saying, if I only touch his clothes, I will be healed. And at once, as she touched him, the bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Jesus knew at once that power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd. Who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, Jesus, and you say, who touched me? But he looked around to see who had done it. You see, the disciples, the crowd, the people, they didn't see this woman with the great issue of pain that she was carrying in her body. But my friends, today, Jesus saw her pain. Those around you might not understand the conflict and the trauma that is in your life because of family. But let me tell you, Jesus sees you. He sees your pain. He knows when you cry out to him in faith, because as you pray, your God says he will listen to you and he will answer you with truth. God sees you today. Then the woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before Jesus and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith, your trust, your reliance, everything that stood against you in this valley, you pushed through to find me. And because of your trust and reliance and hope and faith in me, you can be healed. Go in peace. You are completely set free of your disease. Jesus knew the pain she was carrying. What do you need Jesus to see? What do you need Jesus to see that no one else is seeing at this present moment? What do you need Jesus to heal? What do you need Jesus to restore and set free, to bring things into right order? Because that's what his love does. It brings things back into right order. As soon as you reach out to Jesus, come on, my friends. As soon as you reach out to Jesus, he knows, and immediately power comes from him and flows life into you. John 4:13 says this. Jesus answered. He said, everyone who drinks of this water, they'll be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them, they will never thirst. She'd been to so many doctors. She'd spent all the money that she had. But Jesus answered, whoever drinks of the water that I give them, they will never thirst. They will never lack. Indeed, the water that I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up into eternal life. Can I ask you this morning, springs flow. If the spring is not flowing in some areas of your life and there are blockages to your affection within your family, blockages in your communication where you might as well be speaking another language because your husband, your wife is not communicating in unity with you. There are blockages in your communication. Blockages to the words that you think are in your mind. You want to encourage them, but something blocks that process from happening, and everything you want to say, it's like you can't say it. Are there blockages in our emotions this morning? Are there blockages in the way we serve our families? Are there blockages in the time that we give them? Have other things taken priority over our family, over our marriage, over those things that we need to do, but they keep getting put on the back burner? Can we push through this morning, just like that woman with the issue of blood, no matter the conflict and the barrage that is around us? Can we be like that woman, desperate enough with the issue that is in our pain? And can we reach out to Jesus, because he wants to fill your lives with healing? He wants to touch those areas of communication that is blocking you. He wants to touch those areas of affection that are stumbling you. Because God wants you to be restored. He wants healthy marriage. That was his desire. That's what he was planning. And his plan has not changed today for you, my friend. Isaiah 44:3 says, for I will pour water. Look at the promise and the words of God. when you come to me, all those who are heavy laden and burdened, all those who are dry within your emotions, I will pour out my water, my living water that allows you to never thirst again on parched ground and cause streams to flow on the dry land. Look at the word says, I will pour my spirit on your offspring and my blessing on your children. Will you reach Jesus today and let him restore you and heal you? You know, I believe there are three incredible promises God encourages us today for our families. Number one, he will oppose your adversary and he will rescue your children. Number two, not by might, not by your strength, but alongside, walking alongside with the Spirit of God. Number three, the battle is not yours, it is the Lord. If you are facing adversaries this morning, you need to know that God is the rescuer of your children. You might be doing everything in your might and strength, but it is by his Spirit, says the Lord. And the third one, the battle is not yours, it is the Lord's. Isaiah 49 says this, can spoils be taken from a warrior or captives? Can they be rescued from a conqueror? Indeed, says the Lord, captives will be taken from a warrior. Spoils will be rescued from a conqueror. I will, God says, oppose your adversary and I will be the one that rescues your children. I will fight your enemy who fights you and God will rescue your children. This is a promise we can stand on as families this morning. Number two, hold on because the Lord is your rescuer. When the enemy comes against you, God will show you it's not by your might, it's not by your power, but it's by his Spirit, says the Lord, that will move you in that situation. 1 Samuel 17 says this with David and Goliath. The Philistine said to David, just like our enemies come to us, come here to me so I can give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the wild animals of the field. But David replied to the Philistine, you are coming against me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, but I am coming against you in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies, whom you have defied. This very day, Goliath, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head. Then all the land will realize that Israel has a God. And all this assembly will know that it is not by sword. You know, David is still speaking us today. He's still speaking to the assembly and he's saying to us, it's not by the natural, it's not by the sword, it's not by the spear, it's not by the javelin that the Lord says, for the battle is the Lord's and he will deliver you into our hand. You know, Goliath came with swords. He came with spears and javelins, visible weapons. But David knew it was not his battle. David was dressed by the Spirit, and it was in the Spirit who made the provision for a sling that he picked up. It's not just leaving it to the Lord. David picked up the provision that was given by the Spirit of the Lord, and he picked up that sling. And when the Spirit who caused him to see five small stones from a stream of running water, and with that, Goliath came down by the Spirit of the Lord. Who do you think made that pebble hit Goliath square in the head? Who do you think cut the head of authority off from that enemy? That was the Spirit of God. And lastly, his plan is that he will fight for you. Jehoshaphat said this same thing. For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do. The enemy's all around us. They're around our families. The enemy's around our children. He's violent. They're attacking. They're wanting to steal and kill from us. The enemy is around us. I don't know what to do right now, but God, my eyes are on you. When you don't know what to do, it's okay, but have your eyes on the one who knows the truth and knows the way to victory. For we have no power to face this army that is attacking us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you, God. His choice, Jehoshaphat's choice transformed the natural and release the Spirit of God to come mightily upon Jahaziel, and he prophesied to all the families. 2 Chronicles says this, he said, pay attention. Because of Jehoshaphat's decision to look at God, it released the prophetic word of the Lord to know what to do next. He said, pay attention, all you families, all you children, all you parents. King Jehoshaphat, I need you to listen. This is what the Lord says to you. Don't be afraid. Don't panic because of this huge army that's coming against you. For the battle is not yours, but it's God. Give thanks to the Lord, Jehoshaphat said, for his mercy and loving kindness endured forever. As soon as he heard that prophetic word, it released worship in him because he knew what the Father wanted to do. This is not my battle. This is God's. And because it's God's, I can worship. I can praise. Your loving kindness endures forever. So when they began to shout and praise, because that's what Jehoshaphat knew to do. He got the family, he got the children. And when the enemy was surrounding him, what did they do? We need to praise. We need to worship. The battle is not ours. God has the victory already. So let's praise as if he's already done it. When they began to shout and praise, the Lord suddenly attacked and the enemy was defeated and all their families were saved. Can I tell you today, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know what I have planned for you. For I know what I have planned for your marriage. For I know what I have planned for your families, says the Lord. I have plans to prosper you, not to harm you. I have plans to give you a future and a hope. Can we stand in this place this morning?